Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome to our advanced program. We're glad today that you can travel with us to a place that is quite far away from where most of us live. So stay tuned for Chilling Out in Iceland. Hello, everyone. How are you today?
Great.
Good.
We have some good panelists sitting here to discuss this article that we have today on page 28. I mentioned the name. What is the name again?
Chilling Out in Iceland.
Chilling Out in Iceland. Well, what is chilling out, Bill?
Well, chilling out actually means relaxing, taking it easy, not doing too much, just hanging around.
Sounds a little cold, though, to me. But, you know, this is a place that we're talking about. And where is this island?
Okay, we're way up in the exploring the island nation of Iceland at the edge of the Arctic Circle, Doris.
And that's good.
So we're not far from at all from the Scandinavian countries, which we've studied before in advanced.
That's right. It's in the northern part, and it's right up by the Arctic Circle. That's right. And we have somebody with us today who's not always in the class, but she's one of our teachers, and her name is Amanda. How are you, Amanda?
I'm pretty good, and I'm looking forward to exploring this area that is really on the other side of the world for me.
Well, you know what? We're talking about the Arctic Circle, but you are from the southern part, and what do you call that part down there?
Well, down there is Antarctica, and the South Pole is down there.
So there's a North Pole and the South Pole.
That's right.
So we're going to go from the North Pole to the South Pole because we have somebody representing the South Pole, right?
That's right.
You're from New Zealand, and we're glad you can join us today for this article. And Lois, you're from Canada, and that's kind of far away from the Arctic
Circle. Yeah, and I haven't actually, Doris, for a time in my life, I didn't live too far from the Arctic Circle. So some of this stuff they talk about today, I'm familiar with from living way up in northern Manitoba.
Well, I'm sure that you really chill out up there sometimes, too.
Definitely.
It's pretty cold. Is that right? Well, we have a good time discussing this article, and I hope that you'll learn some new words, but also think about people who are a little bit different than the people we meet every day, and they have a different climate, a different way of living, but they will feel closer to us as we study them, don't you think?
That's right. I think we get to learn a lot about their environment and also their food and what's fun to do in that area.
What are you expecting to learn about of this one, Bill, as we talk about it?
Well, you know, Iceland is, to me, it's, I think for many of our listeners too, a mystery. We don't really hear much about Iceland. It's a funny name. And that's about all most people know about it. And the only time you ever hear about it in the news is there's a volcanic eruption there and that interrupts air transportation throughout Europe. So otherwise, you don't know much about Iceland.
Well, you just say the name Iceland, and immediately you think cold, you think ice. It seems like the whole place must be covered in ice. Isn't that the feeling you get?
That's right. It really is. But we're going to find out it's kind of a trick, and that really wasn't the name it should have been given. So I'm looking forward to this. It's also a place where we've had some friends visit, and my husband has as well.
Well, so you know something about the place, so let's look at our article and read a little bit about it. In fact, I think we'll start reading here on page 28, and we'll do the first column and probably the second column down to the end of that section in line 14.
Chilling Out in Iceland. Exploring the island nation at the edge of the Arctic Circle. Despite its name, Iceland enjoys a relatively mild coastal climate. Winter highs average in the upper 30s, but when the wind kicks up, 30 degrees can feel frigid. Arrive at Keflavik Airport in the late afternoon, as my husband Tom and I did in early November, and you won't see daylight until a little after 9 a.m. the next morning. In much of December and early January, the sun won't rise until just past 11 a.m. Never mind, it's worth the wait for a slow sunrise that casts a brilliant pink light on the snowy mountains and blue sea surrounding Reykjavik, Iceland's capital city. More New England fishing village than cosmopolitan capital, it's a walkable town with a quaint seafront and houses sheathed in colorful corrugated steel. Alone in the middle of the Atlantic, at the edge of the Arctic Circle, Iceland may be one of the loneliest places on Earth, according to travel writer Pico Ayer. Or one of the happiest, writes Eric Weiner in The Geography of Bliss.
Well, as I read and listen to this part of it, it doesn't really sound like a place that a lot of our Chinese visitors would like to go, because Chinese people like to go where there's more activity and excitement and food, like Italy and pizzas and noodles and night markets, you know. It kind of sounds a little bit isolated besides Iceland.
Well, this is actually a place for nature lovers, Doris. It's a great place to go if you want to do some hiking and some climbing and actually bicycling and just enjoying a lot of free space, open space, and some beautiful scenery.
Well, you know, the very beginning of it, it talks about, in spite of, even though the name is called Iceland, it has what we call a relatively mild coastal climate. Now, I think the water, the coast, that has a lot to do with the climate, you know, and so I think it's not as cold as we think so. What do you think?
That's right. I think even in the pictures we see here, there's a lot of green. You know, you said the name Iceland, you think of white ice covering the area. But here we see a lot of greenery, which is opposite to what most people would assume.
And you'll notice here that the winter highs average in the upper 30s. I think that's Fahrenheit,
right.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Upper 30s,
that's right.
Fahrenheit.
And I was going to say, too, Doris, when I studied this years ago, Iceland should have actually been called Greenland, and Greenland should have been called Iceland. And we were explained it when we were in school that it was because one of the rulers of that time wanted more population to go to Greenland and not so much population going to Iceland. So he was trying to trick his people.
Well, they must have tricked them, all right, because they're both kind of places that we don't know too much about, though. But when the wind starts to go and kick up like it does sometimes, and it kicks up the wind, just means that it starts to blow a lot, then 30 degrees can feel frigid. You know, sometimes when you hear the temperature, especially in the northern zone, they'll say with the wind chill of something. I mean, it's 30 degrees, but if there's no wind, it doesn't feel cold. But if there's wind, it feels cold. Isn't that true?
That's right. I think we call that the wind chill factor. Many times when people are making the weather forecast or talking about the weather for the day, they'll mention that so you know whether to wear a jacket or not.
Right, because of the wind chill factor.
Right, and if this is the winter temperatures in Celsius, folks, this is just below 0 Celsius. So we're just below freezing.
Yeah,
so
freezing.
Sometimes if you are a person who's been used to cold weather, this isn't too bad for you.
No, I think it doesn't sound too cold at all. I mean, a lot of places get to that temperature. Seattle gets in the 30s, and I'm sure that Pittsburgh does.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Like you said, Seattle, San Francisco, those are coastal cities, so they never really get too cold. Inland cities will get much colder. Pittsburgh actually gets colder than Seattle.
And New York gets colder, too.
Well, New York does. However, yeah, it does get colder than Seattle, but New York's not bad because it's still near the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at this map of Iceland, you see where Reykjavik is, and there's almost actually, if you look at a map that shows the weather conditions in Iceland, you actually see like a ring of green around the outline of the island of Iceland. There are many glaciers inland, but you have to go inland about maybe 50 kilometers, and then the inner circle of Iceland is ice.
Well, it sounds kind of like a beautiful place, all that green all around by the ocean. Sounds nice, doesn't it?
It does. I know my husband said, though, the one thing he noticed was how short the trees were. That was instantly he noticed that. And then, of course, when he was flying over, he went, where did the trees go?
Yeah, but that's true, though. In Sweden and Norway, you go up in the northern part, and those trees are not like the ones we have in the Northwest.
Yeah.
They're different.
Yeah. That's right.
What about down in New Zealand?
Yeah, in the middle, in the inner part, definitely a lot of trees. Actually, we find that because the mountains are on the west coast, that there's a lot of ice and a lot of greenery, but not many trees.
Mm-hmm. So the trees don't grow when it gets too cold.
That's right.
What goes on here to talk about when you get there at the airport? Now, these names are a little difficult to pronounce, and as Americans, we might say them one way, but what do you think is a good way to pronounce that airport name?
Airport. What I hear on the news, and the American news, is Keflavik Airport.
That sounds
and,
good.
We hear about it a fair bit because it is an alternative for a lot of travel over the pole,
right,
either from Europe or from North America over the pole. And also we heard a fair bit about it, too, when we were having the financial crisis back in late 2008.
So Keflavik Airport, then, late afternoon, they were there, and this is... if you go there, you won't see daylight until after 9 a.m. Because, you know, in the North Pole and the South Pole, their daylight hours are certainly different, aren't they?
Yeah, and they are arriving in the winter in the Northern Hemisphere. This is actually our writer, Carol Pooch. She's talking about her and her husband, Tom, arriving there. And the days get really short in the winter time, so there's not a lot of daylight. You see 9 a.m. in November, and then even in January, it doesn't get up till the sun doesn't rise till 11 a.m.
But if you go to places like Finland, sometimes they don't have the sunrise at all. It's practically dark during the day. So people that live in those northern countries are used to that. But in the summer, you can read a book at midnight because the sun's still up. So it's a little different, isn't it?
It is different. I can remember living way up in northern Canada and having days where only we had 4 or 5 hours of sunlight. It was very strange to me because I came from very, very southern Canada. And I just had never experienced this before. And it's hard to imagine until you experience it.
But if you're there in the winter, you might find that there's not very much daylight.
That's right. There wasn't much daylight, Doris. That's right. But I loved it in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful. Tennis game starting at 9 o'clock.
Wow.
But, you know, it doesn't really matter. It says that here in the second column. It says, never mind. You know, it's worth the wait for a very slow sunrise. And what is the sun like? How do they describe it, Amanda?
Well, it says that it casts a brilliant pink light on the snowy mountains and blue sea surrounding the capital city. So I think it's actually amazing.
It sounds beautiful, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice to take pictures of that.
I'd like to go there, Doris.
Maybe some people will want to after they read this. I think so, Bill. Do you?
Yeah, it's one of these places, as I said, we don't hear much about, but then once we learn about these places, they're like, oh, wow, this sounds like really great. So, and actually, this is kind of convenient. We'll find out later in the article, it can be on the way to somewhere else, and you can actually stop there for a couple of days. We'll find out about that a little bit later.
You might want to do that sometime. But it's more like a New England fishing village. And that's when we think of a New England fishing village, we think of a place that's not highly populated, more laid back. It's more like that than it would be a cosmopolitan capital of a city like New York or something.
That's right, Doris. And definitely our readers from Asia would definitely want to go to Reykjavik, the Iceland's capital, because there would be more action there, more of a nightlife, some great coffee houses, that sort of thing.
Well, it says it's a walkable town, too. So it's not like Los Angeles where you have to drive for hours to do anything. It's walkable, and that sounds kind of fun. And it's right by the sea, a quaint seafront. It reminds me a lot of places like New England and the West Coast, a lot of these different little towns along the ocean. And that would be a nice place to visit. I think our friends would love to visit that, don't you?
Yeah, it is very nice as far as being peaceful. It's a place to relax. You're not going to get a lot of hustle and bustle or excitement. This is a place to just relax and enjoy the surroundings.
Maybe everybody needs a little of that now and then.
Yeah,
I think so.
And the people will love the Arctic char that comes from that part of the world. Wonderful fish.
And it talks here about the fact that not only this quaint, old-fashioned kind of seafront, the houses are sheathed in colorful corrugated steel. They paint the different colors. And that's what they do in Norway and Sweden, too. If you go along the fjords and those places, you'll see pink and yellow and blue. And that's kind of, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's very clever how they do that. It brings a lot of life, especially in the cold weather climates make that. And it brightens the places up when it can be dark so often. Sheath there is one of our vocab focus words, Doris. It means to cover something in a thick or protective layer or a cover.
Right. Well, we go on to talk about the fact is that it's kind of it's all by itself in the middle of the Atlantic up there in the north, at the edge of the Arctic Circle. And this line 10 says it may be one of the loneliest places on Earth. But I don't think that's meant to be said in a bad way. Do you think so?
No, you know, sometimes when we want to take a break or take a vacation, it's nice to get away, especially if you come from a cosmopolitan capital and you just want to get away from people for a while and be in a quaint surroundings, then maybe this is the place for you where there are less people and maybe you can hear yourself breathe or feel
That's
your
true.
Heartbeat.
So one writer could say that's one of the loneliest. This is what the travel writer, one writer said. But one of the other travel writers said it's one of the happiest places. So.
That's right.
Lonely doesn't mean you're unhappy.
No, I don't think so, and I'm
quiet.
Sure, I'm sure they serve lots of good hot grub there, Doris, lots of good stew and stuff. And I am also sure that they want to be happy, hospitable people towards you.
Well, the photos that we have here, and you can always find more if you look at the web and look at it, sounds to me like it'd be kind of a nice place to visit.
Yeah, it sounds great. And you know, I have heard this too about happiest as far as the mood of the place. And I was just thinking, there's a lot of big city problems that they're not dealing with because they don't have to deal with the overpopulation, a lot of the pollution.
Maybe they don't have as much
traffic.
Crime. Who knows?
Crime, I think, is lower. So there's a lot of reasons that people can be in a good mood there.
Sometimes that's true in a lot of different island places, don't you think?
That's right. Even in down where I come from, you know, we have less population, so we don't have those things necessarily to deal with. I think it's interesting that the name of the book that this writer, Eric Weiner, is the title of the book is The Geography of Bliss. You know, when we think of bliss, we think of maybe quietness as well, so...
Yeah,
it's a good place.
Quietness and blessing and bliss, it all kind of goes together, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I would be thinking that the air there is wonderful to breathe.
So if you're tired of committee meetings and pollution and traffic in cities, you might want to go up there and take a break.
Right. Exactly.
And like Bill said, maybe your plane can stop by there. You don't have to make that your final destination. Maybe you're going to Europe and you would go by way of that, and that would be one way you could go. Maybe you're going to London. You could go that way instead of straight across. That might be a good idea, Bill.
Yeah, it actually is a stopover, and you can make this a place where you can just spend a weekend, 2-3 days, be good for you.
I think we've already talked some people into it. Well, let's go on and find out more about this place because it is supposed to be friendly and happy. So let's find out more about their warm hospitality. Let's finish reading today's part of this article.
Warm hospitality. Tempted by Iceland Air's offer of a bargain $650 round-trip fare between Seattle and Paris, including the option of a few days' stopover in Reykjavik, we decided to find out. Edda Jonasdottir lights candles as she lays out a pre-sunrise breakfast of cereals, homemade breads, cheese, slivers of smoked lamb and salmon, and a pitcher of Icelandic yogurt called Skyr. We could hear the wind howling outside our bedroom window, but it was cozy inside Guesthouse Eric the Red, a 12-room inn named for the Viking Eric the Red, who left Norway in the middle of the 10th century to settle in Iceland. He later discovered Greenland, and his son, Leif, led the first European exploration of the east coast of North America. Edda, 57, caters to climbers, hikers, and travelers on a budget.
Well, there's going on to talk about the hospitality. And I think that's something that we always enjoy when we go to a country and the people welcome us and we feel at home there. People say that a lot of countries in Asia are very good at that. And some countries, now people kind of seem busy and they don't. But what about the hospitality there?
Well, the hospitality is great, and one way you can experience that hospitality, Doris, is through Iceland Air. They're offering a special bargain here, we see in this article, or at least that's what the author took advantage of. And we talked before this stopping over in Iceland for a couple of days. You can enjoy the hospitality. We see a special bargain that they have there right from your hometown of Seattle.
I cannot imagine $650 round trip between Seattle and Paris. You have to do that to New York practically nowadays.
That's right.
The prices are.
Or more.
Right.
That's incredible. What a bargain.
I want to go now.
You can hardly go to Singapore or any place. I mean, you know, this is a big deal. I wonder what the price is from Hong Kong or Taipei or Beijing. I think we should check that out, too.
Yeah, that's a good question. Now, I do want to mention here, when you read this, listeners, that $650 round trip fare between Seattle and Paris, that includes the flight would be Seattle to Reykjavik, then Reykjavik to Paris. So that's how that flight would go.
But then it would go all the way back to Seattle again, right?
Yeah, you have to come back Paris through Reykjavik, then Reykjavik to Seattle.
But that's a very good bargain, Bill. I can't believe that.
It's a great way to do it. It's a great way to put Iceland into your itinerary.
Yeah, you could do a few days going and a few days coming back. I think it sounds wonderful.
Well, let's say if you're going from Seattle to Paris, if you fly like going over the pole, that means you go up north and go to the pole. It's much faster that way than going around the globe. Mm-hmm. And so it would save you a lot of time. And a lot of flights, I know I've been like from Seattle to Denmark or something, and it's much faster to go that way than it is to go through Bangkok and through all these other countries.
It's always good to go over the pole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a very good idea to do that, but I think people just don't realize. I cannot imagine that price. Can you?
I wish I was around when that bargain fare was there. I would have jumped all over that.
Well, let's see if they have any other ones. Yeah. We ought to check them out.
Yeah.
The websites
it's
out.
It's tremendous.
I think we ought to check with them.
Yeah.
But
anyway,
they do have special offers to show that they want people to find out how nice their place is. Now, in line 20, they talk about this person's name. Now, how would you pronounce that name? Etta what?
Oh, my goodness. Jonas Dorter? I don't know. Jonas Dorter? It's a different last name. I'm not familiar with it. The first name I am, but obviously this is a local name.
Jonas Dorter or something. Yeah,
and it's different.
Anyway,
for
let's
us.
Call her Etta for me. That's good enough. And she lights candles when she prepares their pre-sunrise breakfast. Now, remember, it's almost 9 o'clock, but they're having this little breakfast before 9, and they have homemade breads, which always sound good, and cheese. The people in the north always seem to like to have cheese for breakfast. And, of course, they have these little tiny pieces, little slivers, little pieces of smoked lamb and salmon. But one thing that Chinese people always like a hot breakfast, and I don't know if they'd really enjoy the breakfast that much, Bill.
Well, that's part of, you know, what we say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Now, when in Iceland, do as Etta does. And Etta is, actually, she's the innkeeper. So we mentioned her name right in the beginning of this paragraph. So just want to identify her role here.
Right. And then you can have a whole picture of this Icelandic technical yogurt. And you have to find out what they call that. Is it scare?
Scare?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
anyway,
so.
It's yogurt to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that might sound good to some people, but a lot of people would say, I think I'll skip breakfast. Because it's not the kind of breakfast that a lot of people like, a hot breakfast.
Right. But we got to, you know, a lot of people, the younger generation, they're more willing to try things that are different and new. And, you know, I know a lot of people.
Not Chinese people. They got to have their hot food for breakfast.
I think they like their smoked salmon. And I know quite a few that like cheese.
For supper, not breakfast.
Well, maybe Etta could, you know, cook up some fast noodles for you while you're there.
I have traveled with Chinese people to Norway and Sweden and Finland, and they do not like cold breakfast. I can promise you that.
Make a couple of dumplings. Yeah. You can fry some dumplings.
You take your instant noodles along.
That's right. Be prepared.
But anyway, if you like that kind of food. But it's nice that they do prepare it. And they light the candles. And this is one thing about all of the Scandinavian countries, Norway and Sweden and Finland, they love to do that. And Germans like to do that, too. Something friendly about having a candle lit on the table when you eat. That's quite a nice habit, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they like to create an atmosphere that is cozy and warm. And candles have a great way of doing that.
Yeah. I just love it. We had a lot of people from Scandinavia live in the neighborhood I grew up in, and at Christmas time, you always knew their houses because they had candles in the windows, and
well,
I thought
Germans
it was so
do too, and
warm and inviting.
Right. Well, anyway, they could hear the wind howling outside and from your bedroom window, but it was cozy inside in this guest house. Tell us more about the guest house.
Well, okay. This is actually the name of the place that Ryder is staying at. It's called Guest House Eric the Red. And she describes it as a 12-room inn, and it's named for the Viking Eric the Red. And, of course, the Vikings were the explorers back in the Scandinavian countries, oh, maybe 500-600 years ago, and they set out and conquered different lands and settled there. And one of the places was Iceland.
Right. And it says this Eric the Red left Norway in the middle of the 10th century. That's a long time ago.
Oh, that's 1,000 years ago, not 500
years
ago.
1,000 right. years ago. He's an interesting character, and you can do some searching about him on if you go to Google.
Right.
And you'll find him quite fascinating.
Well, it says he discovered Greenland, and his son Leif, who led the first European exploration of the East Coast, right?
North America, that's right.
And that's part of history, too. Well, who usually goes to stay at this place?
Well, we see that Etta, she caters for the climbers, hikers, and travelers that are on a budget. So they're watching their money, and they love to explore the area.
So that's not a bad breakfast if you're on a budget and it's not costing you much.
It's pretty good. You got some good protein.
It's a good bargain,
there.
Right. Well, there's a lot to learn about that, and we're going to have more fun talking about it. We talked about the hospitality. We'll talk about other things about the culture there. It'll be an interesting article for travel. We like to find out about places that people haven't gone to very much, so we can learn and then maybe even visit ourselves. What do you think, Bill?
Yeah, I think that's great, and that's why I love these advanced travel articles, Doris. I get to learn about places I haven't been to either. And what I want to also learn about is where some of our listeners haven't been to and where they would like to go, and I also would like to know if you would like to go to Iceland. So you can let us know on our Facebook page. Go in and make some comments or go to our webpage, www.studioclassroom.com, and go to advanced. And then you can drop us a line at letters@studioclassroom.com because I know that we all like to hear about our listeners and some of their travels. So have any of you been to Iceland? Let us know.
So check out the websites, and to be sure and check out us again tomorrow as we gather together to discuss this article together. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.